The Baptist Bible Hour now comes to you under the direction of Elder Lasser Brightly, Jr.
Oh, for a thousand tongues to sing my great Redeemer's praise, the glories of my God and King, the triumphs of His grace.
This is Lasser Brightly, Jr., inviting you to stay tuned for another message of God's sovereign grace. This is anniversary month for our broadcast, as we've completed 69 years on the air. I encourage you to write and let us know that you're listening and mention the call letters of the station over which the broadcast comes to you. Or if you're listening on the podcast or one of the websites, just let us know so that we can focus our attention in the places where we get the greatest response. We'll appreciate it if you can help with the support of the program, and if you request it, we will send you a message on CD that's related to this theme of the month, our theme being Help in Trouble. Address your letter to the Baptist Bible Hour, Box 17037, Cincinnati, Ohio, 45217. I read Romans chapter 8, verse 23. Romans 8, verse 23. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of the body. My subject, groaning now, glory to come. Now let's go back to verse 15 and get some of the context. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Now, as we go through this, let's pause here and think about the depth of meaning that we, as unworthy sinners by nature, can say, Abba, Father, my Father, What an amazing display of grace. Verse 16. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. Oh, how rich. Think of it. We have not only been rescued and saved, but have been made joint heirs with Christ. Then it continues. If so be that we suffer with him, that we may be glorified together. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Verse 19. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who hath subjected the same in hope, because the creature itself shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. First, then, we note that the creation groans. Now, it was perfect when God created it. Genesis chapter 1, verse 10. And God called the dry land earth, and the gathering together of the waters called the seas. And God saw it was good. It specifically states after each segment of creation, it was good. And here in a general way, referring to all of that which had gone before, God saw it, and it was good. Now, it says he created grass, herbs, fruit trees, the sun, the moon, fish and fowls, cattle and creeping things, the beasts of the earth, and then man. And in each instance, it was good. God created it to perfection. Verse 31, God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And the evening and the morning were the sixth day. Hard for us in this world that is under the curse of sin to envision what it was like. For a man and woman who were innocent, they were not glorified as saints will ultimately be, but they were not sinful. And their bodies were perfect. There was no sickness. There was no pain. And they're living in a perfect place, the beautiful Garden of Eden. Oh, what a marvelous existence it was. What a great display of the power of God who spoke. And six times in that first chapter of the book of Genesis, it says, and it was so. When God ordered it, there wasn't any hesitation, there wasn't any delay, and it was so, just as he commanded that it should be. But ultimately, sin brought a curse. Satan appealed to Eve, convincing her that if she would just take of that forbidden fruit, that she would go to a higher level. God was trying to hold her back. God was trying to deny her something. She had everything that any could ever have hoped for, but she yielded to that temptation, offered the fruit to her husband, and he, with his eyes open, now she was actually deceived. She really believed Satan's lying. She thought things were going to be even improved. Adam knew better. He willingly violated God's law. Genesis chapter 3, verse 17. And unto Adam he said, this is God's word to Adam, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field. Now, Adam had a job to do before the fall. He was to care for the garden, but think of it. There were no thorns, there were no thistles, there were no insects to devour the plants. And so he was in a beautiful situation, but now the curse comes because of his rebellion, his disobedience. Verse 19, in the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, till thou return unto the ground, for out of it wast thou taken. For dust thou art, and into dust thou shalt return. What a terrible change from the beautiful Garden of Eden to now the earth coming under a curse because of sin. Chapter 1, verse 23, therefore the Lord God sent him forth from the Garden of Eden to till the ground from whence he was taken. So he drove out the man, and he placed at the east gate of the Garden of Eden cherubims and a flaming sword which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life. What a terrible sight. What a dramatic change from living in a paradise on this earth, a beautiful place where everything he needed was available. But now, because of sin, he's driven out. Here he is, leaving this beautiful place that God had given him to live in. And as he's driven out, there is a flaming sword put at the entrance so he cannot enter again. Now, it tells us in this passage in the 8th chapter of the book of Romans that since the condemnation came, judgment came because of Adam's sin, that even the creation itself is described as groaning. Groaning even as in childbirth, because it speaks of that travail. Now, a woman who is in travail in childbirth, she suffers great pain, but it's with the positive outlook that something good is going to happen. When the pain has subsided, there's going to be a child. And so the creation groans as in childbirth, but looking to a future time when the creation shall once more be without any effects of the curse. Romans 8:21. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. The very earth itself will be delivered from the bondage of corruption. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. So you see the parallel is to a woman who is in travail, in great pain, giving birth to a child. But even as the earth groans, yet there is the anticipation that a better day lies ahead. When God finished creation, his declaration was, it was good, it was beautiful, it was peaceful. But today, it's groaning. There is suffering, there's disease, there's death, there's even the fury of the elements, hurricanes and tornadoes and volcanoes. Things are in turmoil in comparison to that placid scene in the Garden of Eden. Paul speaks using the word vanity, bondage, corruption, or decay and pain, all of that referring to this present condition in which we find this earth upon which we live. But one day, the suffering will end. The child will be born, as it were, the creation delivered, and become again a glorious creation. So the creation groans. Secondly, we consider the fact that we groan. From one standpoint, all humanity groans. Now he's talking here specifically about the groaning that is done by God's people. But there is groaning throughout the earth. There's groaning because of sin. It was because of Adam's sin that there came to be sickness and trouble, disruptions in human relationships, heartaches. Certainly we would have to say that with the COVID that has caused so much trouble, so much sickness, so much pain, so much death around the world, that there's been a tremendous amount of groaning during the time of this pandemic. There are groanings because of conflicts, conflicts between individuals, conflicts in marriage, conflicts among friends, wars, rumors of wars, disappointments. You'll find people many times groaning. And you and I groan because of some of the troubles and difficulties of life. But the groaning that he speaks of in this text is unique because we groan in anticipation of something wonderful. There are people today groaning in the midst of life's miseries, but they have no bright outlook. They have no hope. Some believe that when they die, they go back to the earth, but that's the end of it. There is no life after death. Others have strange notions about what might be out there. But for God's children, there is wonderful anticipation. Now, this groaning is not the kind of groaning that Elijah did when he said, I'd just as soon be dead. That was a groaning of despair because Jezebel was after him. She wanted to kill him. And when he gets out there in the wilderness and lays down under the juniper tree, he says, Lord, just take me on. He wasn't anticipating anything wonderful. He just wanted to get out of his misery. He didn't want the record to show that that wicked woman had killed him. And then it's not like Jonah. Jonah said, I'd just as soon be dead. But he was angry. He was angry and upset because things weren't going his way. So he said, I'd just as soon die. Now, it's possible for people to get in that frame of mind very easily with the troubles and difficulties of life and be groaning to the point, say, I don't care whether I live or die. Doesn't make any difference to me. I'm through with it. I'm fed up with life. Life has dealt me a difficult blow, and I'm ready to die. But we do groan for many reasons. One, because we're a part of this fallen human race. Job 14:1 says, man that is born of a woman is a few days and full of trouble. That's just a fact. God's children are not exempt. Because a person has been born of the Holy Spirit, because they're an heir and a joint heir with Jesus Christ, they haven't been promised perfect health. They haven't been promised to rise above the difficulties encountered by others in life. Yes, man is a few days and full of trouble. So we do groan because we're a part of the human race. And we groan because of what is in us. Although born of the Holy Spirit, the Adam nature is still there. And Paul said in Romans 7:24, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of death? Here was a man that had unique experiences, transformed on the road to Damascus, caught up into the third heaven and able to see things that he couldn't even write about. A close fellowship and communion with the Savior, called to be a preacher of the gospel and fill the role of the greatest of the apostles. And Yet, he had a conflict with his old human nature. Oh, wretched man that I am. He wasn't exalted in pride. He wasn't glorying in the position that he occupied. He says, I'm a wretched man. Who shall deliver me? Have we not all been there many a time? Oh, wretched sinner that I am by nature. Lord, that it might be that I would never have another evil thought, another evil desire, that I would never be influenced by pride and vainglory, that I would do anything that's displeasing in thy sight. Oh, wretched man that I am. So we groan because we still struggle with sin. And we groan because of what is around us, not only what's in us, but what is around us. 2 Timothy 3:13 says, but evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. I don't think anybody would try to dispute that text today. Evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse. Seems that there's hardly a day goes by but what somebody is shot and killed on the streets of our city. And then when you read about what occurs on many of the major cities around the country, you see there's constant violence. You see our whole country moving in a direction on many issues that are vitally contrary to the Word of God. And it grieves you. You groan because of it. And you cry out, oh Lord, have mercy on us, spare us. Bless us to be able to continue to enjoy the liberty and freedom that we have, the freedom of worship. And so because of what is around us, we may sometimes be found groaning. And because of suffering, verse 14 says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. That spirit of adoption has already been given you. From a standpoint of your position, you are adopted. You are part of his family. But the ultimate adoption is the redemption of the body. That's when it'll all be complete. But even now you cry, Abba, Father. The spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Oh, how marvelous is His grace. Having been born of the Spirit of God dwelling in you, He gives you testimony that you are a child of God. It goes on to say, and if children, then heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If so be we suffer with Him, that we may be glorified together. Some have the mistaken idea that if a person becomes a Christian and faithfully follows Christ, that they'll be able to overcome all of the hardships, live on a higher plane, that every sickness will be healed, that everything will be bright. But Jesus never promised that. He said, if you follow me, you're going to learn what suffering's about. If you're never persecuted, if you're never opposed, it may be that you're just not walking that close to Jesus. And so we suffer with him that we may be glorified together. And then the text again, for I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Now we might sit down sometime and start thinking through our sufferings and say, oh Lord, why did I have to go through this trial? Lord, this situation was so difficult. It was so painful. It might have been a sickness that you endured. It might have been a sickness of a loved one. And observing their sufferings brought you great pain. But he says, the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared to what's coming. As bad as they are, as difficult as they seem, as we sometimes are at a loss of words to describe the agony that's felt in the darkest hours of suffering. Yet when you compare it to what's coming, there's no comparison to be made, not worthy to be compared to that glory which shall be revealed in us. Groaning now, glory to come. So, what the groaning does not mean is that we're not murmuring. We're not complaining. Murmuring is clearly condemned in Scripture. Murmuring means that we do not have a thankful heart. We do not recognize the sovereignty of God. We do not claim His promises. In this very chapter, Romans 8, when you get to verse 28, it's where He says, "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose." And I understand from the human perspective that text can be challenging. Because I've had people come to me and say, "Now, preacher, you know it doesn't really mean all things." I said, "Well, that's what it says." "Well," they say, "let me tell you about this." And they tell me about some horrendous thing they experienced or they heard about. I said, "Now, you tell me, how is that going to work out for good?" I said, "I can't tell you that. God hadn't given me insight to that situation. I can't. All I can tell you, this is what God says. This is His promise. It's in His hands. You may live to see the good that's come out of your trial. You may never see it. It may not be displayed until after you're gone. But that's the comfort we have. So there's no place for murmuring or complaining, but bowing in humble submission, even in the most difficult of times we encounter. According to our text in Romans chapter 8, we're in a time of groaning, and we can all certainly relate to that. But how wonderful to anticipate that there is glory yet to come. And all of that is on the basis of God's wonderful, sovereign, saving grace. I hope that you will write us, and until next week at this same time, may the Lord richly bless you all.
The Baptist Bible Hour has come to you under the direction of Elder Lasair Bradley, Jr. Address all mail to the Baptist Bible Hour, Cincinnati, Ohio 45217. That's the Baptist Bible Hour, Cincinnati, Ohio 45217.